If you would go to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1 in the Old Testament, because when it comes to being having a purpose and a mission that God intends for us to do, Jonah, we can learn some great principles for us today as believers. And we're going to start right here. We're going to cover the first three verses in Jonah chapter 1. I took the teens through this book a couple of years ago, and we went through it over a period of several weeks. But this one lesson that we started off with, we really began to look at what it meant to be used of God. You know, God uses people. Amen? God uses people. God could have used many different avenues to get the gospel out, like we heard about this morning, the gospel. That's what God has given to us to share with others, the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. He could have used many different avenues to get it out, but he wants to use people. He wants to use those that he created in his image. My question tonight is going to be, by the end, would God use you? Would God use you to accomplish the task of getting the gospel out? You see, here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, I want us to look at it. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto who? Jonah. So the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So here God is going to give Jonah his word, what he wants him to do. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. There's a specific problem here that God is seeking Jonah's assistance in. The city of Nineveh has become a wicked city, and God plans to destroy the city in 40 days. And God hates evil. We know this. He's given it to us throughout his word that he despises evil. And because of this, something needs to be done. Because God also, as much as he hates evil, he loves man. And so something needs to be done. The people need to know of their wickedness. They need to be presented before them what is going on, what their need for God is, so they can repent, turn their lives around, accept God as the one true living God, and then begin to follow after him. Well, I love what we learn here in Jonah, because look at verse 3. Verse 2, God gives them clearly what to do. Go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3, but Jonah, he obeyed, he rose, but then that's where the obedience stopped. It says that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Notice he didn't even hang out on the deck. He went down into the bottom of the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want us to, this evening, to kind of get a picture of what's taking place here. If we can, there should be a map. And I want us to see here, over here on the right side of the screen, Nineveh is way over here by the river the Tigris. And so it's way off the screen here. Jonah is probably somewhere around in you know, here toward what would be today, modern day Iraq, or Iraq over here, and the whole Middle Eastern section over here. And it says that he went down to Joppa. Now, what I want us to notice tonight, he didn't just come down here to hide out. Look where Tarshish is. God says, I want you to go over here. He went plumb clear all the way across the other way until he ran out of land. He had no desire to go along with what God wanted him to do. You know, some of you in here tonight, and I know this because I've been here, and I've met individuals that are still there. Some of us in here tonight will spend the rest of our life living just as Jonah did here in verse 3. Living our lives in a way, choosing to run from God instead of letting our life be used by God. You see, Jonah knew God. God came to him. They were conversing. And, you know, in context, we know the Old Testament, God used prophets. He came and he spoke and gave his word to them. And so God is giving Jonah a clear direction. This is what I want you to do. So there was no, well, he misunderstood. If you look at the map, there's a total clarity that east from west is not a misunderstanding. He didn't even attempt to go by it, you know, and kind of say, well, I'll just go through the city and head on out. He went the opposite direction, running from what God desired. Well, you see, every one of us in here tonight must understand that God has given us a call to action. Every missionary that's on the field recognizes that God has given every believer a call to action. You see, the missionaries that we bring up week after week and that are on our website and that we support as a church, you know, they may be in cities like New York here in the States, or they might be overseas in Iceland, Guatemala, or Africa. I mean, you name it. Now, those missionaries have gone out for the single purpose of bringing the gospel to people who don't know it. Do you believe there's people here in Port Orange and the Florida and the Southeast and the United States that don't know the gospel? Most certainly. And we have the same responsibility as our missionaries to take the word of God and bring it to those who need to hear it. That's what we need to do, and that's what God is calling for us to do now. You see, God has given us His completed word. In Jonah's day, he didn't have the completed word of God, and we have it. And praise the Lord, He used the Apostle Paul to give us clearly what it is that we are to be doing. As the church today, we know, in what Paul wrote Timothy, that God desires for how many men to be saved? All. Do you think that's been accomplished yet? Then there's still work to do. And we need to get out, and we need to respond in the right way. So here's the question tonight. How can we answer God's call the right way? See, Jonah here in the beginning answers it the wrong way. But how can we answer it the right way? Let's look at Jonah's life here and learn a little bit of how we can answer God's call the right way. Number one, by submitting to God's plan. There was no doubt that Jonah knew what God's plan was. If we look again at verse 2, he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." I mean, you look at that's pretty simple, right? Get up, go, let them know what's wrong. That was it. There was nothing that was said there that was kind of confusing. Jonah, you know, wasn't sitting there thinking, well, what did he mean by that? It was clear. It was obvious. But Jonah just simply wasn't going to submit to God's plan. You know, what's neat is that the Apostle Paul saw this struggle in his own life. The struggle that happens between what we know the Spirit is clearly giving to us and what our flesh is trying to pull us away with. Hold your place in Jonah 1 and go over to Romans chapter 7 real quick. Here in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is beginning, right before we get to chapter 8, we're going to read a little bit of chapter 8 too, but in the end of chapter 7 here, the Apostle Paul is talking about the flesh and the spirit. And in Romans chapter 7, look at verse 15 with me. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For that which I would, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." It might sound confusing with all the eyes, but how many of you in here would at least attest to the things that you say, I'm not going to do that, you find yourself doing it. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He says in verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I dwell in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death, of this death?" There's only one answer. Look what he says in verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Look at 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, where? In us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, what? The things of the Spirit. Paul recognized that there's nothing I can do in of myself to go out and do good and make a good decision every time. It's the Spirit of Christ that dwells in me that enables me to do what's right. It's the Spirit of Christ within me that allows me to understand the Word of God and to make the right decision based on Christ in my life. We see there in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was God that allowed Paul, once he accepted that Christ was the Son of God and that He died for the sins of the world and that He died for Paul's sin to set him free from that power of his own flesh and sin, that allowed him and enabled him to be able to serve God, like he says there in verse 25, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. You know, whether we know it or not, every day we choose to submit either to God's power and direction in our life by His Spirit or to Satan's. It would be similar to the idea that if I was going to stand here in the very front of the building and want to make a straight line to make sure that I hit those doors to exit, there's one direction that I can go to hit those doors to get out. But if I was to turn just ever so slightly and I walk that way, I'm going to find a problem. I'm going to run into a wall. You say, well, I didn't deviate that far. You don't have to. Because if God wants us to go that direction and we deviate the slightest bit, we're going to miss what God's desiring for us to do. And I think here we see with Jonah, he didn't even deviate a little bit. He just went completely the opposite direction. But the reality is that every day we are giving a life full of choices. But where do we look for suggestions, or where do we look for direction on which choice is the right choice? For the teens, especially those that are in high school, choices of where do I go to college? Some of us, it's what career do I switch to? What career do I go to? For the singles, hopefully, it's you're looking for suggestions on which spouse would be right for you in your life. In whatever that decision might be, what city I'm going to live in, are you making the choices based on God's leading and some godly counsel in your life? Are you just going, well, I really feel like this would be a little bit better of a direction than what God may have me to go? You see, we need to submit to God's plan. There's only one way to know God's plan, and that's to be in it. And that's His Word. If we're not in God's plan, then it's real simple. We're not going to be on His plan. We're not going to be walking in the Spirit. And when we don't walk in the Spirit, there's consequences. There's consequences to our choices when we choose not to go in God's direction, but in the direction I feel might be better. You see, Jonah didn't feel like God's plan was quite the right one, so he went his own direction. And God's Word acts like a wise counselor to us. And following God's plan is going to be no different. We can choose to go any other direction in life other than what He's given us, but the results are never going to be good when we follow our own. Like Paul said here in Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. If I go with my feelings, look what he says, dwelleth no good thing. If I go by my feelings, it's not going to lead me anywhere good. But if I go by God's Word, it's sure. It's 100%. It'll be fine. Regardless of what I think is going on. Your actions are always going to reveal who you're submitting to. When you submit to the flesh, the results are always worse than we imagine. In fact, you're in Romans, real quickly flip over to Galatians. Popular passage right here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul says here in verse 17, for the flesh, again, lusteth against the Spirit. There's that war against the two, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. if I'm being led by the Spirit, guided by God's Word, surrendering to whatever God has put before me in His Word, and following that, and not being led by my feelings, then things are going to be good. But look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And I promise you, if you laid these out before every one of us in here tonight, nobody's going to say, yeah, I can see myself in one of these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. I mean, is anybody thinking, yeah, that sounds good? Nobody thinks those things through in the beginning and says, that's where I'm going to wind up. But because they follow their feelings, that's where they wind up. And when a believer follows their feelings and they wind up here, I have never met a Christian that said, well, that's exactly what I intended to do. No, somewhere I began to deviate from God's path and then I ran into that wall. Praise God that He lets me have the time to move back into His path and get going again. Because look, when I follow the Spirit, Paul gives us the reality of that in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what's produced when I do what the Spirit is leading me to do? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You see, these are the things that evidence the fact that my choices are based on the Spirit and not my flesh. Submitting to God means that you're going to have to make some sacrifices. Jonah had to make some sacrifices he wasn't willing to make. What's interesting is that definition of the word submit and the word sacrifice have something in common. They both deal with surrendering. Surrendering of our desires, our wills, giving up the things that are holding us back and keeping us from being ready to follow God's desires and not our own. You see, we can be ready to answer God's call by submitting to His plan. But number two, I like this one, by traveling with a light load. Traveling with a light load. We say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you think, you know, not literally, but I think mentally, Jonah had some baggage that was leading him to go in another way. And I believe that he avoided Nineveh because they weren't of the status that he was looking for. If you go and you research on these cities, Jonah turned when he knew God's desires. He went to Joppa. And the city Joppa means beautiful. And he was heading to Tarshish, which was given that name because it was known as a nice city of precious stones. It was a beautiful place. God already told him, hey, Nineveh's wicked. I need you to go there and tell him. And he said, no, I'm going to go to the place over here that's much more beautiful. It's much more lush. It's much more appealing. Sound like anybody we know from the Old Testament in Genesis? Lot? He said, I'm going to go with this direction instead, Lord. Well, Jonah had some things in his life that were holding him back from being used of God when God really called on him and desired for him to be used. You know, how we pack mentally and physically is going to reveal where you plan to go. Real quick, I had a couple of bags back here I want to show you. If I bring this and I plan to go stay somewhere, how many days do you think I'm probably going to stay? Well, one. All right, a teen would say three. They'll see you wear the same outfit. That's true. At camp, we're out there for a week. This will be a boy's bag. But hang on, because then you have the girls that load the trailer. And I wish I had the actual girls' luggage, but if I brought this, you think I'm only planning to stay a day or so? No. But if I'm only going to stay overnight at somebody's house, and girls, I'm sure you're with me on this, this might be suitable for you. I know that in Colleen's closet, there's much more shoes than in mine. There's many more, you know, shirts and pants and everything else. A lady, you know, has to plan ahead. Well, if anything happens, well, you know, if the sun's not out quite right, then I need to change the color, so I might need this outfit. If it's rainy, then I need this outfit. And so they're going to pack all of this maybe for one night stay. Now, if I was fixing to travel and be in, you know, heading out, which one do you think is going to slow me down more, the backpack or the suitcase? The suitcase. And so if I pack a whole lot of extra things that I really don't need, then guess what? It's going to hinder my trip. It's going to hinder how effective I get to where I'm trying to go. And what we see here is many times with believers, we're packing a lot of baggage mentally and emotionally that's hindering us from being used of God. We'll carry things with us when really we might just need to be carrying our faith and our trust in God and what He wants us to do. But instead, we say, you know what, I'm going to carry that, but I can't let this go either. And so now, I'm slowed down, I'm not as effective, and you know what, when God actually says, hey, I need you to hurry up and get over there, I might not be able to go. I need you to do this, I need you to do that. Well, you know, Jonah had obviously some issues. And there are some things in our life that we may carry with us that are slowing us down. It could be addictions. It could be entertainment. Teens, it could be video games. Unnecessary relationships that we don't want to let go of that are extra baggage holding us back from being used of God. Hobbies that require too much of our time and we don't have the time to devote to getting into God's plan because we've got some hobbies that are really taking that time up. You know, God's going to use anybody under one condition. God's going to use those who are ready. I love these real quick. I'm just going to mention the verses and the names because the Bible is full of people who were ready and willing when God was needing them. Abraham in Genesis 22:1 said these words, here am I, or here I am. Jacob in Genesis 33:11 said, here am I. Moses in Exodus 3:4 said, here am I. Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:4 said, here am I. Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8 said, here am I. Ananias in Acts 9:10 said, I am here. Every one of them was ready when God was needing them. Church, do you recognize that God needs us now? We don't need to be waiting and like these men were. They were serving the Lord, but God said, hey, I need you to do this. And they, you know, Abraham, here I am. That's not the way we're working. See, God, back when Christ was crucified, He called you. He said, hey, I need you. And hopefully at some point in your life you said, here I am, Lord. Like Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord. And then Paul was ready. When he put his faith and trust in Christ, he knew God had a plan. And tonight, church, God has a plan for every one of us. And we need to be focused on the things that are of God, ready to answer. I love what Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, when he told the church there in Colossae, if ye then be risen with Christ, a believer who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he tells them to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Church, when we set our affection on things in the earth, guess what? We're packing the suitcase instead of the carry-on. And it's only going to hinder us from being used the way that God needs us to be used. You know, I thank the Lord for some of the missionaries I've been able to get to personally know because I see their hearts. I think of the Dinsmores who given up everything here in the States to buy their own land. And the land that they bought to build their house on in Guatemala, they didn't even take that money from the churches. They were so committed to what they were doing that they saved up their own, you know, birthday gifts and Christmas gifts and whatever they could for some time to buy that land, to build a house. They call it their forever home because that's where they plan on parking it because they say those people there in the Patin, God loves them, they need to know Christ, and we're here to do it. I love Pat and Vicky Weimer. I've been able to go to Iceland and be with him, and I've seen their passion and their heart. They're planted in Iceland, not thinking that, oh, we'll just pass through. They said, Lord, we'll go and we'll stay and we'll get the work done. We'll be a vessel for you to be able to use to reach those people because, God, we recognize you use people. And I'm one, and you can use me. Here I am. Church, that's the desire we need to have in our hearts. We need to choose to carry God's word and take it serious. Not carry the load that sin has on us in this world. Choose to give Christ the load of the emotional baggage. Cast those cares and burdens upon Him and be ready to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. God uses people, but we've got to be ready and willing to be used for God's plans and not our own. We need to choose to answer God's call to follow His word and not your natural sinful desires. We need to know that anytime we go to His Word and godly counsel to make a wise decision, it's going to be right. Regardless of what we feel, or regardless of how things may be looking, if we're going by what God's Word says, it's always right. We need to be able to go. We need to be able to share Christ with those around us. We need to be able to go wherever God may call us to go. We might be in the grocery store at a checkout line and have a tug on our heart that, man, this person, I think, needs somebody to let them know that they love them like Christ loves them. And I can choose to take a moment to say something to that individual, or I can choose to say, I'm going to head over to Tarshish. Let me hit Joppa and get out of here, because the Lord wants me to go there and witness to this person, but that's not where I want to be. We've got to be careful when we have, when we're truly walking in the Spirit and we've been in God's Word. You know what? Our eyes become open to the people around us. Yeah. There's a reason. It's because God's Spirit's in us. Yeah. And it's calling us and it's desiring for us to reach those around us. Maybe it's a lost person. Maybe it's somebody who just needs an encouraging word. But are we going to be willing to do it? Our missionaries, when they go to the field, it's because they're willing. They need our prayers. They need our support. But you know what else encourages our missionaries? When they see us doing it at home. That's what we need to be doing. Let's pray.